box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Welcome to Box Office Refund, a weekly podcast where we review low-rated movies and ask the question, were the critics too harsh or were they spot on? I am your host, Nico Bell, and with me today is my co-host, Ward.
How you doing tonight?
You know, for some reason, I've lost all of my Christmas spirit. I don't think we're about to talk about why.
I can't believe... Okay, so I sent you an email just to verify that we were going to do this, and you sent me back a slightly sassy email because I just got this vibe that you really did not like this movie. You said something about it, like how they couldn't even get the title right, they couldn't even get the apostrophe S right or something, and I knew we were going to be in for it when I got a sassy email back. We watched Bad Mom's Christmas.
Yeah, the title is A Bad Mom's Christmas. There's no apostrophe, there's no possessive Christmas. I would assume that this is a bad mom's, it's their Christmas, they had a bad time with it. But no, there's a group of bad moms, and Christmas is happening nearby. It just makes no sense. I checked two different sources to make sure I wasn't screwing up that, you know, oh, IMDb must be wrong. Of course there's an apostrophe in a moms, because why wouldn't it be possessive?
Oh my gosh, I already have a headache. First of all, I can tell you did not enjoy this movie. I actually did enjoy this movie. I saw the first
one. Okay, that probably helps a lot.
I mean, it really wasn't that much. You got more of the storyline of Amy and how she ended up divorced, but I mean, you can really just jump in with this movie.
I would guarantee the first movie is better than this piece of garbage, right?
Oh, it is. Don't call it a piece of garbage. It was not a piece of garbage.
Let's just look at this technically. This is supposed to be a Christmas comedy. It's neither Christmassy or comedic. It fails.
I laughed out loud.
Where? When did you laugh? Once. Where?
Oh my gosh, we will get into it. I laughed several times.
How?
I thought there was several times when I was laughing out loud. I mean, there were some stupid parts. There were some montages. I was like, really? Really? But for the most part, it was fun. I thought it was clever.
Whoa. Bold claim. Clever?
Okay, you know,
whoa. Wait. Like, the movie you watched, what year did it come out? Are we watching the same movie?
Listen, I love Mila Kunis. I love Kristen Bell. I love Catherine Hahn. I love all of them. And Catherine is probably one of the best underrated actresses out there. She's done so many different things, so many different genres, and she was hilarious in this. She nailed her role as, like, the bad girl mom that she was playing. And I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome. And Kristen Bell, she was so adorable and cute as the, I guess, uptight sort of mom that never really cuts loose. And then Mila Kunis is sort of this mom who, and the first one got divorced, and then she kind of figured her life out. She got a hot boyfriend. Now she's, you know, trying to just be the best mom ever. You know, maybe it's because this movie was not meant for you. This movie was clearly
actually
meant for moms.
I want to argue that one, too.
Okay.
But I wanted to pick up with Catherine Hahn. I've mentioned the Romanoffs on this podcast before. I got around to watching episode 7 last week. She is in episode 7. So it was a shocker going from that episode to where she is very serious, like... To this, like,
in
it's
fairness,
like, oh,
yes.
Wow, she is a great actor. Like, just, the
she
wow,
is.
It's impressive.
Yes. She was in Parks and Rec. She was in I Love Dick, which was in Amazon Prime, which was, I mean, you see her naked, like, top to bottom naked in that one. And then for her to go from there to this one, yeah, I know when women are naked on screen. You gave, like, a look. Yes, I remember these.
That's just things. An interesting plot point. Like, oh, I Love Dick? This is the thing you need to know about that show. That's just an interesting plot point for that show. I'm not sure it's one I would have chosen.
I remember these things. Okay,
well,
so in this movie, this is...
I had a couple points there.
Can I at least say...
No,
okay,
no, you
go
can't.
Ahead. I knew you were going to have problems before I even got to the plot. Go ahead. Just grieve them all your grievances. Just give
Kristen
them to me.
Bell. Like, where do you know Kristen Bell from? Like, what's... Oh, Kristen Bell, she's in this.
Like, that Sarah Marshall movie. She does a lot of the comedy, rom-com-y type stuff. That's where I see her as, in a comedy world. Where
Veronica
do you see
Mars.
Her from?
Have you ever seen Veronica Mars?
Well, I haven't. I never got into that. That was a long time ago, though.
It's just a great television show.
If you're, like, impersonating... Like, if you think of her as Veronica Mars, I mean, you're really not up to date on the current...
I don't want to be up to date on the current Kristen Bell.
I love her. I think she's so cute, and she's funny. She does a lot of great stuff.
But Veronica Mars, like, that show, Veronica Mars, Mars is a Planet. The description said, oh, she's a high schooler that works as a private eye and goes to Neptune High. I'm like, oh, Neptune High, so this is a sci-fi show. So I started watching this. I was in for a rude awakening. It is not a science fiction show.
No, it is not a science fiction show. Even I know that. I never even
watched
it.
I know that
it.
Now, but going into it, those descriptions threw me off a bit.
Anyways,
I also shout out Kristen Bell. I think it's called The Lifeguard or something Lifeguard. She's great in that. That's a drama. She is like a out of work or lost her job or something like millennial type who starts a relationship with an underage boy.
Mm. Yeah, I bet she would pull it off greatly. I love her. I think she's
I don't
a
like
lot of
her in
stuff.
This.
Ugh, I can tell. Okay. All right, listen. Let me at least tell people who are listening what this is about. Like I said, it is the sequel. But in this one, the moms want to pull off a really incredible Christmas, which is so relatable. So I was already on board. Every mom wants to have a good Christmas for their kids. There's so much stress. There's so much pressure. Despite the fact that it's 2018 and equal rights and all this stuff, moms always have the pressure on them way more than the dads. There, I said it. I'm sure people are going to hate that. But it's just the reality of the situation. So I was relating to the movie. I was very pumped. And then their moms show up. And so there's an added pressure and there's sort of an added subplot and everybody's kind of airing out their backgrounds and their grievances with their moms. And comedic stuff ensues. It's so fun. It's so fun. I laughed out loud. Okay, you know what, Lauren? I can see it on your face. I don't even want to deal with it right now. You're going to destroy this movie.
I am bewildered by what I'm hearing.
I thought it was so
fun. But
I
do want to pick up your point about how this movie posits that Christmas is all on moms. And I don't disagree with that. But isn't that self-imposed? Yeah. I've never expected a woman to, oh, you're a woman, you must carry Christmas for this entire community.
I agree that it is self-imposed, but it's something that has been self-imposed for, I believe, the beginning of time. Like, making holidays special for families is something that has been fallen on women way back before women had rights and voices. And I just think it's something that we haven't outgrown yet. And women do it to ourselves, and the mothers pass it on to the kids. So that's why this movie was so fun to watch, because it was everything that I feel like a lot of moms can relate to. Like, and then they had like the critical mom, they had the clingy mom, the irresponsible mom. So they hit all the niches. So there was something for everybody.
Yeah, maybe. Or, but yeah, I don't disagree. Like, Christmas has typically fallen upon the mom to pull off. But I don't know if it's as expected. I mean, obviously, I have just a completely, I don't have the right viewpoint or mindset of any of that. But just from my little niche in the world, from what I see, I don't think that's as expected as it once was. I mean, this movie posits that we're still in like kind of 1950s-esque world where women are the homemakers, but that's not 2017.
In fairness to this movie, the women in this movie, there is a single mom whose dad is completely out of the picture. That's Katherine Hahn's character. Then you have Mila Kunis, who just got divorced. So this is the first Christmas since the divorce. So that is her role to make it a good Christmas. And then you have the stereotypical stay-at-home mom that Kristen Bell plays. That is, like you said, like somebody from the 1950s. So they didn't really set it up as, you know, a family where like a woman doesn't have to do it. Does that make sense? Like, they literally had to do it because there was literally no man there. Like, nobody else there. They had to do it.
But, you know, I think the log line is something like overburdened mothers. But the only reason they're overburdened is because their own moms come into town. If you take out their own moms, they really don't have that bad of a time. Like, it wouldn't be that bad if they were just doing Christmas for themselves. The mothers.
Well, that's the whole point of the movie. Oh, my goodness. The whole point of the movie is that the moms come in.
Yeah, but the mothers are just such far-fetched characters. They're nowhere near real
people. No, they're not far-fetched characters. Oh, you have not met enough middle-aged women.
I have a quick question.
Is what that means.
How many people do you know, like, how many couples do you know where the mothers watch them have sex?
Okay.
So you give me that point.
Okay, I mean, maybe one at best. Okay. That is obviously an example, but that's why it's so funny. Let's talk about, let's just set the scene. So the moms that come in, you have Susan Sarandon, and she's the cool mom. She is the mom of Katherine Hahn. Okay, her name is Isis, by the way. Did you like that? Susan Sarandon's name.
I don't have a problem with that name, but at least land a good joke once in an hour and a half about
they
the name.
They did. Okay, you know what? The other mom. You have Cheryl Hines, and she was the clingy mom who watched Kristen Bell and her husband have sex. Okay, they just started to have sex. Let's not exaggerate, all right?
I don't know what's happening on this cover. I can't say whether they did start or didn't start. It's unclear, and I don't want to know.
I forgot. Do you know the name of the other mom? She's been in so much stuff. She's
Which mom?
So talented. The one that is the mom of Amy. Oh, gosh.
Christine Baranski.
The only thing I can... Yes, and she is so wonderful, and she plays this role. You have to admit... Give this to them. They had these characters and they all played them really well. Like, whoever told them, whoever directed them, they really dived into their roles, their tropes, and they did it really well.
Well,
Yes.
I mean, I'd say yes, but like Susan Sarandon, all she had to do was have her eyes open and not stumble over to like fulfill that role. They didn't ask a lot of her.
No, she was a kind of a badass woman who kind of was the voice of reason toward the end, who was helping solve
She had one line in the movie that was impactful. You're right.
Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. I can't even with you right now. Okay, so listen.
Yeah.
We have the movie.
You know what really did this for me? What really just first step completely wrong? It's the how we got
Go
here
ahead.
Trope. It starts, you know, Christmas, there's like the house.
I hate that.
Like,
I hate
that stuff too.
Yep.
So right off the bat, I'm thinking, movie, please don't do this. Like, I'm not looking forward to this. If you do this, you're already 6 feet below level. It's going to be hard to climb out of the grave. Movie went for it. Hate it. And
so I watched this.
And
yeah.
I almost guarantee
I watched
that,
this movie. No.
Please, by all means.
I watched this movie with my husband. And even he was like, because at the beginning we see them, what has already happened, like you said. So you see Mila Kunis sitting on the stairs and a camel walks in front of her. And she's saying how this is the worst Christmas ever and she's destroyed Christmas. And so I was watching this movie with my husband and he's like, we haven't gotten to the camel yet. Because like when you see something at the beginning, it puts it in your mind. And then the whole movie, I'm like waiting for the freaking camel to come because I know that's when the big disaster is going to happen. So I agree with you on that point. I did not like it. And it also had a countdown, which I absolutely hate in movies, because it was like 5 days till Christmas, 4 days till Christmas, 3 days till Christmas. So yes, Ward, you have a legitimate point with that.
And it's just, and even after that scene, like you could take that complete scene out, it doesn't change anything. Even the way the credits roll in, everything, that had been something they added after the fact, because they knew the movie was bad, and they were like, we've got to come up with anything to jazz this up.
It was not bad, and honestly, if they left it out, nobody would have, it wouldn't have made the movie any better or worse.
It would have helped the first impression, for sure.
Well, okay, I would have, yes, okay. So, what we basically get at the beginning is that everybody knows that their moms are coming to town, and they're trying to have good Christmases, and they're trying to make things special for their kids, and obviously when the moms come in, that's super duper stressful. And like we kind of already established, everybody has their very cliche role in all of this. But basically, we're following Amy. We followed her in the first movie, and we're basically following her for the most part in the second movie. With her super, super critical, very stereotypical perfectionist mom. Which I think she did a very good job of portraying.
No doubt. I mean, like as far as some of the details are just wonky. But yeah, as far as her archetype, she portrayed it wonderfully. I will not argue that.
Now, so when they decided that they were going to have their own Christmas, they decided they were going to revolt against what their mothers wanted and that they were going to do this their way. They decided it in a food court.
Oh, wait, you're jumping way ahead. I have a lot of notes before we even get to that food court.
Isn't that, that's like the first real note I have. I must not have had any problems with the beginning of this. Okay, go ahead. Lay it on me when you got before this, that. Because that's when they really decide to make the Christmas their own.
I disagree
that's
with
like
that.
The inciting incident. Okay, go ahead.
All right, just a few points. And I don't really know, like, some of this context I didn't write down, and I don't remember it now, so forgive me. I know Mila Kunis, she's with her kids, are making cookies, and they're throwing flour at each other.
Did you say Miley Kunis?
Mila Kunis.
Mila.
I don't know that well, she's never had a chance to correct me on that name. Now I know.
Okay.
So they're throwing flour at each other in the kitchen making cookies, and it looks cool on screen, but all I could think was, who's going to clean that up? That is just a pain in the lower back for the person that's cleaning that up. It's stupid, because real life does not work like that.
I don't know. When I make cookies with my kid, we get flour all over
the
place.
Who cleans it up, huh?
I clean it up, and I do it lovingly from the bottom of my heart, because I know he had a good time. Next.
All right. This really sets the stage for the type of jokes in this movie. It's the crude comedy type, and I don't dislike crude comedies if they're actually funny. With that introduction, there's the old, the kid overhears somebody's having sex punchline, the whole, it was happy screams. Then you know, kids cursing, just all these little tropes in movies like this that are not, like a kid cursing to me is never funny. I've never gotten it. I know plenty of people that think it's funny. I don't understand it. And I do like that, like the kids are something like, oh yeah, you said OMFG, and Mila Kunis is saying, oh no, I wouldn't have said that. And the kid says it again. I'm like, okay, that's so funny. Kids cursing. But I do like they brought it around that I can't remember what happened, but the kid's like says
the
it.
Very end.
Well, no, like right in this whole joke realm right here, too. It came out at the very end, too, which, like, the problem with it is it's kind of funny on the surface, but logically, there's no reason the kid would say that. Like, it just doesn't fit right. It's just, here's
she
a callback.
She was just repeating what she heard Mila Kunis his character is saying.
And that'd be great if it was
just
Sonny,
repeating it.
But it's not.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Catherine Hahn drives a third gen Camaro. That's probably the highlight of the movie for me.
Yeah,
love it. Yeah, my favorite part. The introduction to Mila's mom, I mean, just wow. Like, you know she's going to be the character that has creates all the drama.
Of course.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say a little bit on that, like how she barges in and she criticizes that there's no Christmas tree. And she immediately declares that they're having a big, huge party there with 148 people and it's going to be very elegant. So, yes, we've already set her up as the jerky mom.
I don't know if this is my biggest issue, but for some reason, Mila's mom wants to have this big, huge party. Why does she want it at Mila's house? Why not, I don't know, rent a venue where it would be more appropriate, where you could do these ridiculous things she wants to do? That part never made sense to me.
Well, no, listen. First of all, she did say that she used to live there. So these are all of her friends. So they...
She lived where? Mila's house?
I don't know. Well, maybe. I can't remember the first movie. But she did live in the neighborhood. So maybe she wanted some sort of connection with that. And then it also is a bit of a competition between moms. Like, she's trying to prove that she's a good mom and that this is how Christmas has to be done. Very elegant.
Who is she proving that to?
To herself, because she has all this guilt because her mom was so critical of her.
They've had a mother-daughter relationship for, what, 10, 15 years at least? I just feel like this would have come to a head earlier than this. And
you don't know how mother-daughter relationships work.
I would have moved away and not given a Ford address long ago.
The reason why this movie works is because it has so many truths underneath it. The idea that you have to live up to your mom's expectations, or any parent. See, this could transcend to you.
No.
So you have to live up to your parents' expectations, that you don't want to get them angry at you, that, you know, things just sort of snowball. You start to do one thing to make your mom happy, and then before you know it, you're hosting a party with 148 people and a giant blue Christmas tree and a camel. Like, that's sort of the underlying thing about it. Listen, I teared up at the end.
At what part? Wait, is there a tearing up part to this?
Yes! When Mila Kunis' character and her mom are in the church and they're having their makeup scene, I got a little teary.
They had a makeup scene?
It.
Wait. Alright. Let me explain this. I'll tell you what I remember. Mila and her mom did not have a makeup scene in the church. Like, I'm just telling you my recollection. Let me get through this. Then you can correct it all you want.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
Somehow they end up back at Mila's house and they fix Christmas there, and that was the makeup part. Is that not it? What happened?
That is not it. Oh my gosh, word! I'm concerned with your memory. Listen, they were at the church. It was midnight service. All three older moms.
Yes, I know that.
There,
I got that part.
Okay. Mila Kunis realizes that she was way too harsh on her mother because she had kicked her out of the house and out of her life. I know. I do agree with that. We'll get to that. So Mila goes to the church and she tells her mom, look, you are good enough. You've always been good enough.
Yeah, that's after the Peter conversation. And man, I got to talk about that later because there's some frightening aspects to that conversation. All right. I don't know the context for this, but my notes just say dicking around. I think that was a conversation between Mila and her mom. I don't know, but it stood out.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, now we're at the food court, and they're getting drunk. Do food courts normally serve alcohol? Because I've never seen one that serves alcohol. Maybe I go to the wrong food court.
That is my exact question. I wrote that down as well, because they have like 8 beers on there, and they're getting totally wasted.
They're having so many beers, I feel like there should be a bouncer in the food court.
For real. So, I did not love this scene. I did not love the montages. Because this is now a montage of them getting drunk and being wild in the mall. And they, like, have naughty Santa time. Like, they go and they try to get their picture with Santa. And, you know, Kristen Bell is doing all this
Santa
dancing.
Santa was all in on that. That was the highlight
Santa
of his
Santa
career.
There was, like, spanking and twerking and all sorts of weird things. And I was like, okay, well, I could do without this part. And they steal a Christmas tree from Payless.
Not Lady Foot Locker.
Like, they just
Lady
steal
Locker.
It. Oh, you're right. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. You are absolutely right. They steal a Christmas tree from Lady Foot Locker. Like, that was all very ridiculous, but still enjoyable. Like, I understand. It's
well,
fun. Whatever.
This part, it kind of started this theory I had that I later checked out. But it's this weird fantasy comedy. Like, this kind of, going wild and breaking the law type stuff. And I thought, this feels like a man would write. Like, this is the male fantasy of, oh, I'm going to get drunk and all this. And so when we got later to the movie, there's a part with a bar and strippers. I was like, I know this was written by a man. sure enough, it was.
Okay.
And I feel like that's the disconnect for me, that it just feels like you take out these women, you put men in here, it's the male fantasy, you know, going wild in the mall, strippers, all that stuff. That was a big disconnect for me.
That's really interesting. I never really felt that way, because this is just like a fantasy of moms. Like, which mom wouldn't want to just cut back and
get,
you know,
drunk in a mall food court?
Well, maybe not that, but, you know, just sort of have a wild side is what I say. And the stripper scene, I definitely didn't think anything weird about that. There was a bunch of Santa strippers. They were having a contest, and the moms just went to enjoy a show. That's just entertainment, Warren. I don't see anything wrong with
that. I have some comments on that, too.
Because one point about that.
I don't know the guy's name, but I'm just going to call him Squibby. You know, he ostensibly, he flew to wherever this is for this Santa contest, explicitly for that.
Yeah.
Had to have brought the suit with him. How much does this contest pay?
It doesn't matter. He's not very smart. We can obviously immediately that he's not the brightest guy. He's not the brightest.
He's wholesome.
The actor that is on This Is Us. He is one of the brothers. He's the brother. The built brother. Anyways, the only thing I didn't like about that stripping scene is that they all booed the chubby Santa. And I was like, why can't the chubby Santa be sexy? Chubby people can be sexy. I didn't like
Technically,
that.
Technically, he was the most accurate representation of Santa I saw there.
It's true.
He should get points for accuracy.
Like, everybody shamed him. I know. And chubby people. Listen, chubby people can be sexy. This is ridiculous. Anyways, that's the only part I didn't
Granted,
like
he was not trying
it.
To play up the sexiness. He was trying to play up his chubbiness. I mean, he knew what he had.
That's
and
true.
He was working it. And I would give him a lot of points for that.
I thought it was fun.
Back to the food court.
We jumped. Wait, I know. Back to the food court.
So these are our protagonists, but they are wreaking havoc and ruining other people's lives that day, you know, just with all their antics.
Oh, my gosh.
Ruining lives?
Like, that is dramatic.
No, is it really, though? I mean, if you were just a passerby in that mall, they would really be hindering your Christmas spirit by being crude and rude and stealing things.
Oh my gosh.
They're ruining people's lives. You could easily make them the villains based on that whole antic thing. It's ridiculous. Didn't like it.
I just think that they were just having some fun. It was a fun part of the movie.
So you would say it's fine to steal a Christmas tree from Lady Footlocker if you're in need or if you're just in want. You condone that?
No, but watching it.
What are your feelings on Lady Footlocker?
I will not say one way or the other where my Christmas tree came from this year. But, you know, watching it as, like, you know, a mom, and I would think that's just fun. Like, that would just be a really fun, crazy time that I would never, ever have. But it's fun watching it play out.
So, like, let's say you're dancing with Santa Claus, like they dance with Santa Claus. And I just happen to be there and, like, ooh, sure. I'm going to put this on Instagram because this seems like a valid historical moment. If your kid saw that, it would be like, son, that's how it's done. Or would you I don't know. What would you do there? What happened?
You're really thinking a lot.
It's a mall Santa. There's lots of kids there. They were dancing very provocatively.
There was no kids around at the time.
No, the camera didn't turn. The camera just focused on Santa. We didn't see what was behind the camera. It's a mall Santa. There's got to be kids around. There's no argument there. Bunch of kids.
Oh my gosh. Okay, can we move past the mall,
but
the criticism.
I pointed out before,
okay,
and I want to repeat
it. I know.
Best day of Santa's life. I mean, he was like that actor. If any actor brought it, he brought it. I fully believed everything he was feeling in that scene. He brought it.
He was a lucky man that day.
That smile was not acting. That was genuine. He genuinely enjoyed that.
Well, all those ladies did such a good job. I mean, oh my gosh. Okay. So, they decide that they're going to take Christmas back. Of course, it's not going
to
work.
Wait, when they're planning to murder their moms, is that correct?
So close. I think it was just to not listen to their moms and do Christmas the way they wanted to. For example, Mila Kunis's mom wants them to go to the Nutcracker and not like a fun fantasy Disney type Nutcracker. They want to go to the 5-hour Russian Nutcracker. Now, listen, I've seen the Nutcracker.
Wait, which
and
one?
I hated
though?
It
the
and
five
it was
hour
long
one?
And boring. It felt 5 hours. I don't know what it was, but it was seriously so long. I literally fell asleep. I fell asleep. One of my family members fell asleep. It was awful. So I am with Mila on this.
Well, it's not 5 hours. I don't think you can count it.
It felt 5 hours. That is all I need to know. I'm sure it's lovely. Other people who like it, that's fine. It's not my thing. But she decides instead they were going to go to Sky High. I don't think we're quite there yet, but
kind of there. I mean, in my notes, we're at the part where Kiki's mom watches them fall asleep and make out, which is weird.
Yes. So Kiki's mom is the one who has sweatshirts with her daughter's face on them because she is super duper clingy. But listen, we learned that she's only clingy because she just lost her husband.
Really? Did she just lose her husband? Is that true? Like, what is just? How recently?
I don't remember how recently. But
is that true, though? Because I'm not going to say you're wrong, but this is my recollection, and I admit it could be faulty. I thought she was a single mom. She had Kiki when she's like 18 or 19. She's a single mom. Is that not true?
Oh, no. Well, she did have Kiki when she was 18, but she also had a husband, and he, I guess, died, like, somewhat recently.
Are you sure that, like, are you adamantly sure that's the truth?
I know. I mean, it might not have been a husband, but she had someone in her life who died.
But recent or, like, way back?
She has, I mean,
is she still in mourning, or has it been long enough?
Well, I think she's clingy. That's the reason she's clingy, is because she doesn't have anybody else, and I thought it was because it happened recently.
I thought she was clingy because she had Kristen Bell so young, and I don't know, it just made her crazy.
I think that's what they verbatim said.
Hey, she had her young, it just made her crazy.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Wanda Sykes is in this movie, and she actually literally says that out loud. So, yes, that is part of the reason. But, okay, yeah, so that's part of it. I have a note about the 12 Day of Christmas decoration house with the real partridges in the tree. Wow. You don't remember this?
Well, once you said the birds, I remember that. Leading up to you're going. But yeah, I completely
because
remember
Mila
that.
Kunis
that is ridiculous.
Mila Kunis is all like, I'm totally going to Christmas my way. It's totally fine. She goes home and her mom has made the 12 Days of Christmas decorations on the front yard. And she has literally partridges that fly out. And she's like, that's okay. They die pretty soon. It's fine. Let the birds go. And it's quite a big grand thing. I would actually love to have a house that had that many decorations. If I came home and someone had done that for me, I think I'd be kind of excited. Because I hate putting up the decorations, but I really love having them out. So I think I'd be pretty excited.
I like that, too. It's
that.
Completely somebody else's problem. There's no downside here. Like, it is all money.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The mom, she's very reptile, cold-blooded. You know, very factual. Like, oh, yeah, so this partridge will die. No. It's just, it's kind of weird, yes. And it only gets weirder throughout the movie. And at that point, I wasn't sure, is this the joke, or are they just trying to strive too far and they're missing? I don't know. But it's also around this point that I realized all these mothers are sociopaths. It's that simple. I mean, Kiki's mom. Yeah,
no.
Yeah, sociopath. They don't understand,
okay,
like,
well,
normal societal rules and regulations. Kiki's mom definitely fits that. Isis definitely fits that. Mila's mom definitely fits that. None of them understand, like, society's rules and customs. Or they blatantly defy them. Yes, you cannot argue that.
Kiki's mom, yes. Sitting in, like, the bedroom and watching your daughter have sex, yes. Obviously, we have some issues with that. But, you know, Susan Sarandon is just that wayward loner mom who doesn't have any sort of emotional connection with her daughter because she's too afraid and insecure and blah, blah, blah. And then... Well, yeah, sure. And then Mila Kunis' mom is so much riddled with guilt because she thinks that her mom was disappointed in her. And she says, oh, I've had it so much worse than Mila Kunis has had it. And, you know, I'm just trying my best. You know, she has her own personal problems from her past.
Yeah, and that's why she's a sociopath. Those help mold that. Like, look at how Mila Kunis' mom treats people. She's a sociopath.
Wow, she is pretty rude. But, I mean, they're just playing it up for the fun factor. Here is where I laughed, and
I
don't have anything other than a couple of words, and I don't quite remember, but they were making gingerbread houses at the PTO gingerbread house contest. Do you remember that?
Maybe.
And Mila, and all I wrote in my notes was gingerbread house, fight her. And for some reason, that I remember cracking up, and I think Catherine's character... Her name is Carla, Catherine Hahn's character. She told Mila's mom or like Mila to like fight her mom or something. I don't know. But there was a moment in the gingerbread house. There was a moment in the gingerbread house where she, because I love her and she's so good at comedy, and she just sort of nailed this one line and was just fight her. And I just thought it was funny and I cracked up. I don't have any other information about that scene. I'm so sorry. You just have to take my word for it that it's hilarious.
Based on my memory, I will grant you that yes, that was funny.
Very good. Okay.
So, around this point, we're introduced to the male stripper, and he and Catherine Hahn, they have an instant connection.
Do you want to talk about that scene,
Ward? None of it really makes sense to me. I mean, I know they're playing it up for comedy, and she's kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess. Sure, movie. You can have this one.
So, she, you got to explain it. She works at a spa. She does waxing.
Oh, you know, I got to jump in. I want to back up my sociopath point. Catherine Hahn's mom steals a whole bunch of stuff from the spa. That is sociopath behavior. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so, okay, here's another one point when I laughed. At the beginning of the movie, when Catherine Hahn is coming out and she's so tired, she's like, I don't want to have to wax another person or whatever. And so she goes and she has a room of clients and she's like, okay, who's getting waxed? And everybody raises their hand. And then she's like, you, Betty White, come here. I want to see what you got. Like when she addressed the old lady there who was getting waxed, I thought that was funny. She nailed it. She was like, you're interesting to me. I want to hear what you got to say. Like that was
funny.
Was. Okay,
but
go ahead.
You know, immediately preceding that, and this is funny because I was actually talking to somebody about something along these lines, but she comes out, you know, the whole who wants to get waxed, and she says, oh, not you Sasquatch, talking to a woman. And you know, this day and age, I have to take issue with somebody is mean to somebody based on their physical appearance because it's not something they can change. I mean, maybe that poor woman's trying to like fix that she's kind of hairy. And
she was. Yeah. But that was part of her character, of Captain's character.
I want to dive into a side real quick.
Go ahead.
Because this all was sparred. And I saw somebody recently about this. You know, somebody made a joke about somebody being short. They're doing this Star Wars reference. They made a joke about somebody being short. Oh, they would be Yoda, of course, because they're short. Now, in society, we seem to have free license to make fun of short and tall people. But I guarantee the same person said, oh, yeah, you're fat. I was your job at the hut. People would not be so lenient on him. What's your take?
What do you mean not lenient on him? Like they would get mad at the person.
Hey, you're short, you're Yoda. Oh, that's funny. You're fat, you're Jabba the Hutt. Hey, dude, that's not cool. Is there a double standard there, do you think?
Sure, I do think so. As somebody who is short and fat, I think they do definitely, because you know what? That's actually interesting you say that because I know a person who's very, very tall and very, very thin. And he got made fun of a lot and he was called String Bean. And it became something that his friends thought were like an affectionate thing. But it really hurt his feelings because he can't help that he was really tall and that he stood out, you know. So that is actually a very good point that we're moving into a phase in society where we're starting to be a little nicer and more aware, and we're trying our best to kind of take these marginalized groups and be more respectful and stuff. And I'm very happy about that. But we have a long way to go. You were right. If somebody had made fun of someone short, then they probably would have been like, oh, it's no problem. But yes, if you had called a fat person Jabba the Hutt, you would have gotten torn apart. Yes, I agree.
And with all that said, just thought the Sasquatch joke was really, it's not creative at all. Like, there are so many things you could have done
That's
in that setting that could have been genuinely funny. And I don't know. You can't make jokes based on people's physical appearances anymore. That is so 1970s, 80s, where, you know, all those 80s movies, they're hard. Anyway.
Yes. That's good. Okay. Very good. Rolling back into here. So one of the things they do instead of going to the Nutcracker, we'll go back to that, is they go to, I think it's called like Skyward or something like that. It's one of those places where all they have trampolines and you bounce and have fun. And I thought this was kind of stupid because she says instead of going to the Nutcracker as a Christmas tradition, they'll go have Christmas fun at Skyward, which is not Christmas fun. You're just bouncing on a bunch of trampolines.
You know what the place is missing, though? The place should have Christmas-themed dodgeballs. That way it could have been Christmas fun. Or, you know, they could have decorated for Christmas. That way it would have been Christmas
fun. They could have done a lot of things, but apparently this is Christmas fun, going to jump on the trampolines. They had another slow motion montage. They play dodgeball. We have Mila Kunis against her mom at the very end. She throws a ball and knocks her down. That was all very cliche and a little boring. I'll give you that.
I'm just watching this thinking, what is this? This is the best they came up with?
Yes. I mean, I definitely think, yeah, that's for sure.
And, you know, not that that's a bad scene, but I guess like the whole placement, if that was, I don't know what groundwork you have to lay down to make this work, but if this was like the penultimate scene towards the end where it's Mila Kunis standing up to her mom, like maybe that's something, but this is just kind of thrown in there just so we can pad the runtime apparently.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That really had no advancement on the plot or anything like that. And it wasn't very that exciting to watch. So, all right, we move on and we now get a little chance to see Kiki and her mom, Sandy, that's the name of the character, and they go to therapy. Because Kiki really needs this, Kristen Bell's character, really needs her mom to get some space.
To back off, because mom is crazy.
Mom is so crazy that she bought the house next door to Kiki. I guess that's a little bit later. In cash, by the way, which I think is very impressive.
There's a lot going on there, because just closing and finding a lawyer and all that stuff. I mean, I get this as a comedy, so you can't make this exactly factual. I'm like, wow, that happened really fast. And like you said,
we'll get to that. The fact she's sitting on that much cash,
what does her mom... Yeah. You think her mom's on speed? Because her mom's pretty hyped up all the time. I know, I think it's right. I think her mom's on it. She's dealing it. She's probably manufacturing it. Fun fact I read today. I believe in the early 2000s, there was a abandoned nuclear missile silo in Kansas. I may be messing all this up, but the gist of it's right. They did a drug bust on that silo. And for 3 years, the LSD, definitely was LSD, the LSD production in the United States dropped by 60%.
Whoa.
Fun fact. All right.
That's insane. All right.
This will be the highlight of the podcast episode.
Listen, so this, I laughed at this too. I laughed when Kiki was saying that she needs space and Sandy's like, I have heart cancer. And then, of course, she doesn't have cancer. And she was like, oh, I don't have cancer. And then she's like, it's stage 12. I have polio. I have shingles. I have bird flu. Like, when she was coming up with all of those things to try to get sympathy from Kristen Bell, I thought that was pretty funny. I laughed.
That was amusing.
That
like, I wanted to crack that a smile. I didn't, but I wanted to.
Oh. And Wanda Sykes, you know, she nailed
Wanda
her little
Sykes
role
like,
there as a
yeah,
therapist.
Wanda Sykes did great.
She was great. She just laid out the truth, like, after Sandy leaves and it's just Kiki, and Kiki's like, what is wrong with my mom? And she's like, I'll tell you what it is. And she goes into this little rant, and it's basically what you said, Roar, that she's crazy because she spent her whole entire life raising Kiki, and now she doesn't have anything for herself, which is extremely relatable as a mom, or any parent who stays home, whether it's mom or dad. Like, when you give everything to your kid and then your kid doesn't want you anymore. I had a moment where I was very sympathetic towards Sandy because I could see like so many moms and women or, you know, whoever raises the kid have that moment. So that was, you know, that was kind of a touching moment, I would think. Or do you not have heart and you couldn't relate to that?
No, I think a lot of that's valid. I would just say though, you mentioned giving everything to your kid. I think you should always hold a little bit back for yourself.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But it's harder to do, you know, than you think it is. Because that's just how it happens. But in this movie, it felt, you know, I felt really kind of bad for her. Because she did what a lot of people do. And she kind of lost herself in motherhood, as any mom or dad does sometimes. And so I felt bad for her.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you thought it was stupid and you just fast-forwarded it, that's fine.
No, man, I thought she made some good points. I will say the funniest part of that scene is not something that actually happened in that scene.
Great.
The funniest part of that scene for me is me imagining Wanda, like, as soon as the director yells cut, Wanda's like, all right, where's my check? I just see her doing that. That's the funniest part of the scene for me. It didn't actually happen.
Like, she just grabbed something from the catering table and then just got on a jet. And
like, all right, that's it.
All right, so let's talk about the Caroling Cup,
which is a competition that the neighborhood... In fact, there's even a competition, but if those carolers came to my doorstep, I wouldn't even open the door. That is some legitimately scary stuff. Like, that many people, the costumes, wouldn't even open the door. Would you open your door to that? Because that stuff's crazy.
Absolutely not. I would absolutely hate to live in a neighborhood that has a caroling contest. I mean, every like 5 seconds you have somebody knocking on your door and singing you stuff. I'm just not that festive.
Yeah, that community is encouraging that nonsense.
I know. And of course, Mila Kunis' mom, she wants to win. I guess they've won in the past or something. I don't really
know.
Where does the mom live?
That would clear up so much for me in this movie if I just knew where Mila's mom
lived. That's a good point. I don't know. I don't even remember if she flew in or drove in. That
seemed like everybody flew in.
Oh,
well,
maybe.
Other than Susan Sarandon, who, yeah, you know, she did some special things with a truck driver to get where she was.
Yes, she was hitchhiking in the truck.
Hitchhiking, so, I like that metaphor.
Okay. And so, Amy is Mila Kunis' name, and her mom's name is Ruth. Okay,
You're
so
really into
Ruth,
characters' names.
I mean, it's just easier to
My
talk
notes
about
are
if I know their
Mila
name,
or
and I
Mila's
wrote them
mom,
down.
Kristen Bell or Kristen Bell's mom. Kept it very simple.
Well, I'm trying to be consistent, but it's not working. Okay, so Mila Kunis' mom... instead of letting, first of all, there's a theme, which is Dickens. So everybody has to dress up from the Christmas Carol.
Was that Mila's mom's theme or the theme for the contest?
Yes. No, that's Mila's mom's theme. She said that you have a better chance of winning if everybody has a theme. So everybody had to dress up from characters, but they didn't get a chance to sing or do anything because Mila Kunis' mom wants to win so bad that she hired the Chicago All Saints Choir. Like, seriously, like 70 people just come out of nowhere at Mila Kunis' house, all in robes.
And you're
going to
tell me she's not a sociopath.
She's just, I sympathize with her in that she grew up with like a lot of pressure, and she just wants to be perfect. She has to be perfect because she was raised to believe that perfection equals love. So I don't see her as a sociopath. I just see her as somebody who has just sort of tumbled down this rabbit hole of trying to find love and just is going about it completely the wrong way.
I mean, her mom's what, like 50 or 60? You don't think she would have stumbled out of that rabbit hole by now?
It's a lot harder to do when it's like ingrained in you from birth. So I'm giving her a
little
bit of slack.
But you don't think the world at large would just kind of slap her hand and say, like, look, you can't act like this in society. We refuse to accept this. Like, how did she get this far in life acting like that?
You want to know how? Yeah. You have a husband that irons your pajamas.
Poor Peter Gallagher. He is the victim, the biggest victim in this movie.
I was so excited.
Like, he has a speech, that whole speech. I have to question, like, I wish I had a camera where I could look around in the scene to see what torture device is set up to kill him if he speaks out of line. That poor man.
Admit, this movie had an incredible cast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they got all these people into one room, but when I saw Peter Gallagher, I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, it's him. And but he ironed his wife's pajamas. There is no accountability with this woman. They all let her be crazy.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's the problem.
I mean, okay, so they go around and do that. Oh, so Mila Kunis is saying, like, they don't want to go caroling, that all she wants to do is go sledding with her kids and then watch Love Actually. And they're pajamas.
Actually, I
kind of
dig that.
Have you seen
Love Actually? Yeah, that is a fantastic movie.
Do you think it's a kid's movie?
Oh, no, not a kid's movie.
Would you say it's a kid's movie?
There's a kid in the movie, but it's not a kid's movie.
No, it's not a kid's movie at all. I wrote that down. I was like, that is not appropriate for children at all. I think you are a bad mom after all. Like, you don't sit down and watch Love Actually with your young children. That's insanity. All right, so they go on their Christmas caroling and they win. Woo, they win.
How? How'd they win? Because didn't Mila blow it up right in the middle of it?
Well, I don't know, but they definitely win because she comes back with a trophy.
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh my gosh, Ford.
Hey, if the movie wanted me to pay attention to every little detail, maybe they should have made it less boring. That's just my thought.
Okay. So, then we have the scene with the Sexy Santa contest that we talked about. And I laughed at this when Kristen Bell says, you should never have to watch your mom lick your boyfriend's nipples. I thought that was funny. Yeah, that's right. I thought it was funny.
I think it's true. I believe in that. You shouldn't have to watch that. I don't want to see my mom licking my boyfriend's nipples. I'll be honest about that.
Exactly. It's a fair point.
But yeah, this scene, though, that made me think, oh, man, this is written by men trying to imagine what a female fantasy would be. It didn't seem authentic to me. I don't know. I'm not a woman. Just my thought.
I don't know. It's pretty close to my fantasies about sexy Santas, so I feel like it was right on point.
Okay.
I don't know what other type of female... I don't understand what other type of female fantasy you would be thinking of. Like,
there's a lot I can say right now that I find incredibly amusing, but I can't say it.
Like, you don't think that women would fantasize about sexy Santas? I mean, that's perfectly normal, I would think.
I don't know. In the context of this movie, though, we're talking about how they're overburdened, overworked. Isn't dealing with a man just more work at this point?
No, because she's not really dealing with the man. She just wants to get funky with him. With a really sexy Santa. Like, it's just fun. I mean, she, you know, falls in love or whatever, but...
Wait, who falls in love? Catherine Hahn?
Yeah, you know, at the end. They're like, oh, I love you. But
yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I think that it's fine. I didn't find it unrealistic at all. I found it fun. And I was thinking to myself, if there was a sexy Santa and I had, like, a bunch of friends who were down with that, I would totally go and watch that contest. So I was actually pretty much on board. Maybe that's a little too much information. Let's keep moving along.
I know what movie to get you for Christmas. I'll just get you like a master cut of that scene, looping it over and over.
Yes. Like, I'm going to watch the chubby Santa
over
and over.
There's
bound
to be a questionable movie that is centered around Santa stripping.
Well, listen, Magic Mike was a hit. They had like three of them.
I don't know.
Because women love that stuff. And then why wouldn't we? Men love to watch, you know, people, women or whatever. So why wouldn't women?
Because
isn't it
a whole different
men?
Mindset? Don't male and female brains work different? I don't know. I'm not a neurologist.
Ah, see, now
but
we're talking.
Don't their minds
down.
Work differently to where I don't know. Yeah, you know, men are more visual and
sure.
Like more, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I think you're onto something. This would be a Fridays on the Fly conversation. You should have this on your other podcast. Let's get back to. Because we're getting close to the end and we're almost
no,
there.
No, we're only halfway, okay. Man. I'm getting ready for my big speech here.
Okay, why don't you tell me where you are in your notes in this story? Where are we at here?
Let's see. Whole drunken Santa thing. Yep. I was utterly shocked that Mila's mom threw the party when Mila told her not to. I could not believe it. What a shocker this movie pulled out. Never saw that coming. My mouth was agape. I had to pause. Take a moment.
I'm sure.
Crazy. What a surprise. Sure.
Yeah, Mila was like, don't throw that party at the 148 people. And the mom was like, sure, I won't do it. I respect you. And then what happens? Oh boy, she comes home and finds that party going with Kenny G playing that beautiful, beautiful soprano
saxophone.
Not a
bad joke. Like, I kind of appreciate that Kenny, I mean, it's weird, but I kind of appreciate it. And Kenny G has, you know, one of the better lines about, I think she calls his saxophone a flute. And he's like, it's not a flute. He says something, it's kind of funny.
It is really funny. I agree with that. So, yes. And then Amy goes crazy and shuts everything down and starts throwing things. And there's some funny moments in there when they're fighting. Like, her mom was like, don't touch that ice. That ice was from the moon. Like, some of that stuff is just so
preposterous.
But that's
my question.
Like, that tree is from Paris. That ice is from the moon. Like, all this weird stuff.
Yeah. That threw me off. Because up to this point, I mean, the mom's, she's living on another world, but it's based on Earth. Like this, you know, there's moon ice or stuff from the Titanic. I was like, well, this doesn't fit how the mom has talked before. She's always been serious and exacting. So I didn't know, does the mom believe these things are from these places and that's the joke? Is she being preposterous? That's a joke, but she's never been preposterous like this. None of it made sense to me, so I wasn't sure how to categorize those jokes, if they were jokes, if they were intended to be jokes. I just found it really weird.
I mean, I agree.
How did you take that? Did you think she was being serious or sarcastic or something?
I think she was being serious. I think that, well, I mean, now that you mention it, I could see it being sarcasm. But I think she was literally being serious. I think that she got a replica of something from the Titanic or that she, I don't know, the moon, the ice on the moon was weird. But, like, I think she did fly that tree in from Paris. I think that's what they were going for, that she was so caught up in perfectionism that she would do anything to achieve that perfect party, that elegant party.
But it's
whatever,
not incredible.
So.
From the Titanic,
no,
did she hire James Cameron to, you know, scuba dive down there and pull some stuff up? Moon ice? I mean, did she get Neil Armstrong on the phone and have him go to the moon for ice? And there was a bunch of things she mentioned, and she's never been sarcastic up to this point in the movie, so I just didn't think it was sarcasm. But what is it? And if that's what they have to have her say to make their point about her perfectionism, I feel like they've messed up in the characterization if they have to go so over the top to make that point. I don't know.
Well, I think they messed up.
You think they messed up?
I think they kind of
messed up all together. Yeah, they did mess up, sure.
Because when we get to, like, sort of this end, which is coming up, and we find out that she's really, this mom is actually, like, nice and funny and sweet. Like, that's what the dad says. Like, give her a chance. She's really funny and everything. Like, we don't see any of that. We don't see a clue that she's anything other than really bossy and really perfectionist. So, they missed the marks a couple of times.
Peter's speech? Because I can't wait to talk about that.
Well, before we get to Peter's speech, I just want to say the kids, Amy's kids, Mila Kunis' kids, saw the fight, saw Mila Kunis kick out the mom and say, I want you out of my life forever. And her kids get a little bratty with her, and I didn't like this, because they say that they love grandma, they don't want grandma out of the house, and basically that Mila Kunis has ruined Christmas. But there was, again, no real evidence that the grandmother and the kids love each other. Because the grandmother
there
just gives
them
gifts.
There was a ton of evidence. The grandma gave him an Xbox, gave them a phone.
Yeah, there we go.
I would want to keep grandma around, sure.
Well, I'm sure. But, like, they were like, we love grandma. And I was like, no, you don't. Like, she's giving you gifts. That's not love. She's bribing your affection. I thought they were little brats. And I thought if I was Mila, I probably would have, like, hit the roof yet again and just, like, ran out of the house, like, screaming. Because I just couldn't handle it.
You know what I wonder from that scene? I wanted to get to say, but we love grandma more than you. Like, that would have, like, brought it all the way.
Then yes, that would, and that is where we see her on the step, and that's the full circle that she is now broken and sad, and the camel, which was part of the party, walks in front of her, and that's the full circle from back from the beginning of the movie. But yes, you can now talk about the dad's speech.
All right.
If you would like.
Peter Gallagher, I mean, you know, how the mighty have fallen, but he's talking to Mila and he's saying, oh, your mom is just insecure, this is her shell, she's trying to hide it, her mom, your grandma made her feel worthless. But that's exactly what Mila's mom is doing to everybody now. So obviously she didn't learn much from it. I mean, maybe it's a pattern of behavior that's been ingrained. But, like, the things the mom does to Peter and Mila, it's crazy. And I thought, oh, wait, I get it. Peter's lying to make peace because he has to know what he's saying is ridiculous. But then I was like, well, maybe this is like this really deep commentary that he's been so victimized that he no longer comprehends reality. Because his wife has not been nice to him 1 second of this movie. She is terrible to him. And I thought, whoa, this was crazy. The real person in trouble in this movie is Peter Gallagher. He's having some kind of like Stockholm syndrome where he is in love with his captor. She treats him like garbage. She has no redeeming qualities other than she is so obscenely rich that I would want her to be part of my family so she can buy me things.
I mean, you make very, very good points there. There is one scene where she and Peter Gallagher are alone, and there was one opportunity, I think, where they could have had her kind of get out of that shell.
And I thought they were going to go there with that, too.
And I thought so, too, and they did not. She was bossy and rude, and she made him iron her pajamas, and then when he gave her a hug, she's like, you wrinkled my pajamas, and then, like, go get my toothbrush ready? Like, something weird.
Yeah,
so they never showed her being redeeming at all. They even had one scene where she was talking to the grandchildren. It was just her and the grandchildren. And that could have been a moment where we saw some tenderness. And instead, she gave them, iPhones or something.
Yep.
And there was just no redeeming quality. I agree. They missed the mark
on it. Well, that's the failing of this movie. I mean, I get it's supposed to be a comedy, but this only goes for the easy jokes. It could have really done some interesting character development. I mean, Mila's mom, if they had shown her vulnerable at any point, like when she's with the grandkids, like saying, when she's with the grandkids or with her husband, she lets that shell down. She can't for Mila because of, everything we've talked about. Like, that's really cool. This movie never does it. And so many of these jokes are just, I guess they're funny. But if you really look at this logic, like the context, it doesn't make a lot of sense. There are jokes inserted just to be funny for the sole purpose of that. And some jokes can be funny and be character developing.
Yeah, they missed it. But they really only showed the vulnerability of her at the church, the scene that you seem to have wiped from your memory.
Well, at that point, I just didn't care. Like, this movie had zapped all my will. Like, it's like, man, I don't even like Christmas anymore because of this movie.
Oh my gosh. So, first of all, let me just say to that point, we are going to be watching the Kurt Russell Netflix Christmas movie.
Yeah! The Christmas Chronicles. And that is my hope to bring Christmas back.
Okay, Ward was the one who said we were going to watch it. I wanted to watch, not Deck the Halls. Jingle All the Way, which I love. I love that movie. So that, Ward. I watched the preview of that movie, and all my Christmas spirit welled up into this little tiny bit of mist and just poof.
What happened in the preview?
I hate it so much already, and I haven't even started the movie.
You gotta tell me about this. What happened in the preview? Because I'm so pumped for Kurt Russell.
No! I'm so angry you didn't let me watch Jingle All the Way because it looks so cheesy and so bad and so ridiculous. That what you feel about this movie, I have no doubt next week I'm going to come back and feel about that movie. I just want to watch my Arnold Schwarzenegger. You took that
from me.
Well,
let's be clear. I did not take that from you. You forewent that. I said, let's do it. I will watch 2 and 3 movies to fit that into the schedule. And you're like, no, I don't want to. So that one's on you. I was willing to go all the way for Arnold and his Christmas movie.
Well, anyways, that's what
but then you're like, oh, why don't you just watch it for fun? I'm not going to watch that movie for fun. I watched it once.
I am. I'm definitely going to watch it for fun. I love that movie. But no, we have to watch Kurt Russell.
You could have had Jingle All the Way. I will double up. Let's do it. You said no.
I'm already like so anti that movie, and I just watched the preview.
Do you not like Kurt Russell?
I love Kurt Russell.
Then
that's
I don't
why
get the disconnect here.
This movie.
It's Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Wait till you see it. You're not. This is just. It's. So stupid.
I'll be
it's
honest
so
though,
stupid.
If there's not at least one joke that references his like 80s movies, I will be disappointed.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll do with that. Okay, so in this one, Mila Kunis, she is the one that apologizes. She runs after her
mom. Yeah, but she didn't need to apologize. She had nothing to be sorry for. Everything she did justified.
I agree. I hate when movies do that, when the wrong person apologizes and they got it wrong. And they have this big conversation, this big heartwarming conversation at Midnight Mass. While Midnight Mass is going on, they're sitting in the pew talking about their relationship, saying, you're a good mother, you're a good mother. And they're crying, which I did tear up. This is where I teared up. And it's happening during... Look at your face. It's happening
I can't fathom that you actually found this touching or sad or anything.
I did.
Emotional.
You know why? It was emotional because I don't know, like, I mean, I have women friends and everything, and we talk about mothering and parenthood and stuff like that. And it's pretty rare for your parents to tell you that you're doing a good job being a parent. Like, think about, like, has your parents ever said, you're a really good parent? And it just,
I would follow,
like,
that with, what do you want? Let's just cut to the chase. Don't butter me up.
Moment.
Just tell me what you want right now.
It was a touching moment because Mila's like, you did a great job. I had a great childhood, which one, I don't believe for a single second that Mila Kunis's character had a good childhood. But she said it anyways. And then the mom's reply was, you're really good with your kids. You're a really good mom. I wish I was as close to you as you are with your kids. And I don't know, like, that kind of hit me. I was like, you know, I don't know if I see that in my life with my friends and their families and my, like, I don't know. It hit me. I got a little teary up. It was sweet that the mothers were acknowledging each other as mothers and finally saw each other as equals.
All right. Quick question. With you having said all that, what is an appropriate okay. response on my end to just end this conversation and end this thread?
We can just skip right okay. along. So they save Christmas. They clean the house. They redecorate. They wrap the presents. Everything is good. So that's done. Like, well, their relationship,
I want to jump in because I'm not sure if this note I have is in this church scene or not. But I know Mila at one point says something about how she could not have done it, I don't know, saving Christmas, whatever she did, I don't know, without her friend. What did her friends do? I mean, they listened to her, and that's important,
yeah.
sure, but did they really do anything? And that's why I can't remember if this was in the church or after, because the mom helped her save Christmas
after.
Physically, sure, like, I get that. But her friends didn't do anything other than listen to her complain. And that's important.
It's true.
But, like, great, like, I just, that's giving them a lot of thanks for not a lot of doing.
Yeah, I mean, they encouraged each other to have Christmas their own way, but yeah, I agree, there wasn't much going on.
Oh,
and everybody's relationship gets
quick
stressed.
Question. So this title, A Bad Mom's Christmas, who are the moms? Is it all six of them? I would wager it's just the grandma moms, right? Like the Kristen Bell, Mila, Catherine. Catherine Hunt's not even a mom. That's just weird. Is she a mom? Oh, yeah, she does have a kid.
Yes, she's a... Oh, my
I forgot.
Gosh.
Well, that kid, they weren't giving him a lot to work with. I mean, they really took some easy jokes on him. I did like the baseball glove joke. With that said, I didn't see any of them as really being bad moms. Like, maybe, like, crude moms, but not bad as...
Well,
in,
that's sort of
they,
the
I don't
point.
Know.
That's the point. It's
is
like
that what I've gotten from the first movie?
Bad.
That,
yeah, like, you think you're a
all
bad
that underlying
mom,
lore
but...
that's so deep I missed. I'd watch the first movie, I would have had it all.
Exactly, exactly. All right, we're going to wrap this up. Kiki fixes her relationship.
You know,
with
if
her
they
mom.
Named this A Crude Mom's Christmas, I would like that alliteration. But I guess they couldn't because they already had a bad mom. But you know, the first could have been Crude Moms.
Two
I really just think they should have gone with the alliteration,
one?
The Crude Moms. Perfect. We should retroactively change
mom.
The title.
It was Kristen Bell. Her mom
dies. Her mom dies.
Overnight.
I was shocked. I cannot believe it.
Shush! No. Overnight,
she had heart
Christmas
cancer.
Eve,
she died
somehow
of it.
Manages
she actually wasn't
to put the house
before.
On the market.
It's crazy.
Somehow,
and did you see the sniper? The sniper part really blew my mind. I did not see that coming.
Isis, who's played by Susan Sarandon, decides to stick around and be the grandmother and the mother that Carla, who is Catherine Han's character, always wanted her to be. And apparently she also found a job overnight at that Sky Zone place. And passed a drug test. So apparently in this timeline, in this world, on Christmas Eve, Susan Sarandon applied for a job at Sky Zone.
Got it.
Took a drug test. Passed the drug test and got a job before Christmas morning. Boom. That's the world we're living in, folks.
Yeah, everybody says Chicago's a busy city. Did they say it's... What's the city that never sleeps? Is that Chicago? I don't think so.
No, it's New York.
But obviously Chicago doesn't sleep because they're doing a lot of work on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
They are on Christmas Eve. They're putting houses up for sale and they're doing drug test screening for Sky.
I mean, and,
so.
Like,
all
the
right.
doctor's offices to do the drug screening, the lawyers, the banks, these houses,
know,
like,
all
of them are rolling
perfect.
On these things.
Christmas Eve.
And
all
it took
right.
me a week to
that
get a house
movie.
Inspection. They get the whole thing done. You know, maybe she
they
bought it as
thing.
Is.
I know.
It's crazy.
Overnight. It was amazing.
But I'll give
right,
them that.
That.
Like,
movie.
Yeah, with the timeline, sure.
I'm
going to
wrap this up whether you feel like wrapping it up. It's minute hour. We're going to wrap this up. Next week, I believe we are going to be watching that awful
The Christmas
Kurt
Chronicles
movie.
With Kurt Russell. Getting it done.
Oh,
man.
My
I'm
gosh,
pumped. If anything
so...
can make Christmas better after A Bad Mom's Christmas. It's Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
I'm so annoyed. I watched that preview and I just got so angry at you. There was like a wrath in me. I gotta watch that preview now. I can't believe you made us watch a movie you didn't even watch the preview for. It's Christmas with Kurt Russell.
What more do I need to know?
You're going
to
regret it. Oh, trust me, you're going to regret it. Okay.
No, it's not, though. This sets up a sequel. And I just thought, I thought it was audacious to set up a sequel with the moms from Bad Moms Christmas, when I didn't even enjoy watching this movie. And why am I going to want to watch a movie with them? They're not even the main characters. But my favorite part of the movie, I'll give the credits. They were the best part of the movie. And that really, that's as bad as it sounds. Like, that's the only joy I got in this movie. And that's not a lot of joy.
Okay. My favorite part might be Santa.
Nope, I'm not going to plug anything. So excited. Not I like that scene.
Anything tonight. We're just going to keep this going as always because I have no control.
And the Camaro. The Camaro was awesome. Okay. Camaro, Santa, credits. That was it.
So, I'm going to plug.
What were your top three favorites for this merchandise. Movie? What did you like?
Because we have movie and our merchandise. Because we have movie-inspired merchandise. We're not like the podcast who just have our names on shirts. Although we do have our names on shirts.
We had to do just one. You gotta do that.
We have movie-inspired, like Team Graboid, if you're a Team Graboid, or Bert's Butt, if you're really into Bert Gunner's Butt, and you saw that movie, Tremors 4. And we have all sorts of fun stuff. So go on TeePublic and Box Office Refund, and that's our
We need a holiday shirt, or a couple holiday shirts.
I know, we're getting
Bad Moms Christmas should have generated some ideas in us to create more shirts.
I would just say that I loved it so much, I don't feel like I could do any sort of sassy shirt about it. It was so good.
I don't know, I mean, like a big dong on a shirt and some mistletoe on it or something. I mean, that was all in this movie,
I feel
right?
like that could be pretty much any movie that we've seen so far.
What movies have you been watching? I've not been watching those movies.
We've seen so much nakedness and so many butts. I didn't see a butt! Oh my gosh! I didn't see a butt in this! That guy was naked, but... It was like a
side
view.
What do you consider butt?
Shimmer?
I mean, technically, we saw like the side part of his butt. Or for it to be a true butt, you have to see some crack.
No, yeah, you got to see the whole thing. Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't see anything. Oh, well, maybe Kurt Russell will show a little. We'll see. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.